I could tell you that the richest 1% of Americans earn nearly 140 times what the bottom 20% make. Or I could say that the top 1% are close to having as much wealth as the bottom 90%. But these are just numbers. What really puts inequality into perspective is seeing how your life would change as you move up the economic ladder. So let's take a journey starting from the average American earning around $50,000 a year, through the millionaires to the billionaires and even further beyond. And finally, we'll end with the people whose wealth is so vast that it's pretty much impossible to count. Now, life's always been hard for the people at the bottom of the pile. It's a fact that hasn't changed in recorded history and probably won't change for a very long time into the future. But what has been changing recently is where you draw the line. One of rising inequality's worst effects is how it decimated the middle class. Jobs which used to keep a whole family afloat barely make enough to pay for a one-bed flat. So let's check in with how the average American is doing today. According to CNBC in 2023, the average median salary in the US was around $48,000. If you put all the different salaries in the US into ascending order and took the exact middle one, that's what you'd get. Considering it's been a year since then and it'll make things simpler, let's round that number up to around $50,000. So what would your life look like living on that amount of money? In some of the US's most important cities like San Francisco or New York, earning $50,000 wouldn't even get you your own apartment. In fact, you need to pretty much double your earnings before you could live alone and actually save some of that money you earn. Obviously, the biggest factor is rent. A third of New Yorkers pay over half their total earnings towards it. It's a barrier for entry that blocks these cities off for nearly everyone. Outside of the most expensive cities, it does get a bit better, but the average quality of life for Americans is still in the gutter. So what about the most average city in the US? Of course, every city is in its own different world, but going purely by the cost of living, Dallas is a good choice at around 2% more than the US average. Unfortunately though, the median US salary is still around $50,000 a year behind what you'd need for a comfortable life in Dallas. But let's take a look at the numbers anyway. First, that $50,000 goes down to $42,000 after taxes get taken off. Next, you can take off the rent. Even a studio apartment sets you back around $1,400 a month on average. A one bedroom is generally a couple hundred more per month, and it means you'll be paying around $16,000 to $17,000 a year in rent at a minimum. That puts our leftover money at about $26,000. Next, we can take off another $16,000 for living costs like food, bills, transportation, and other necessary costs. Ultimately, this leaves you with around $10,000, living with the barest of necessities. But that's still before all the unforeseen one-off costs, like if your car breaks down or medical costs. Pretty soon, there's nothing left over to save for a rainy day. The bottom line is that even the average American living alone in the average city on the average salary isn't making enough to live a good life. It's certainly not enough to buy a house with or start a family. It's no surprise then that a staggering 36% of Americans are now living paycheck to paycheck, up 4% from 5 years ago. Meanwhile, debt is increasing. Recently, the average debt for an American rose above $100,000. While mortgage costs make up the bulk of that figure, it still shows that even just the bare necessities are still more than what people can afford. At this level of wealth, you're going to be doing pretty much everything for yourself. You won't be able to afford to eat out very often, if at all, so you'll need to cook for yourself. If you want to go somewhere, you're only a few taxi fares away from not making rent next month. You'll probably be able to afford 2, maybe 3 rooms to live in, probably in a shared flat if you want to save some of that money you're earning. And for all of this, you'll need to still be working long hours just to scrape by. Financial stress is one of the worst kinds of stress. Anyone who's been there knows that it sits on your mind pretty much all of the time. Then there are the costs that aren't immediately visible. For a lot of people, medical insurance is hoping they don't get sick. It'll make you ignore things you really shouldn't. It often means paying for treatment or surgery later down the line, both with your wallet and with your own pain and suffering. If you can't afford to buy clothes and shoes that'll last you a long time, you'll need to buy new ones every year when they fall apart. Even rent itself is just losing money compared to paying off a house. Then there are the costs and time. High rents in the inner city mean you'll be commuting every morning and every evening. You'll probably need to take more hours at work to get by to begin with. Then there are just the little things, like going out of your way to the cheaper grocery store, even though it's miles away compared to other options. Being poor is incredibly expensive in pretty much every single way. As inequality has risen and increased inflation, the amount of money you need to live a comfortable life has gone up too. It's pushed more and more people out of the middle class. Professions like teaching, which used to earn you a good living, are now too poorly paid to even survive on. There's a reason nearly half of all educators in the US now have a second job. But on the other side of the coin, the breakdown of the middle class has pushed some people above it. If you have your own business, then you'll know how expensive it is to pay for all the different apps and software needed to run your business, which is why I want to tell you about Odoo. Odoo is an all-in-one management software designed for entrepreneurs seeking to streamline daily business tasks. It connects all the apps you'd ever need into one, saving you a bunch of money and time. And personally, one of my favorite features about Odoo is their website builder, which allows you to launch your professional website quickly, efficiently, and best of all, for free. Here's how. Odoo's website builder app is available for free, including lifetime hosting and support. Plus, you'll receive a free custom domain name for the first year. When you decide to add more applications to power other aspects of your business, such as invoicing or inventory, Odoo offers affordable paid plans. Once you're on Odoo's website configurator, they'll guide you in just four quick steps. First, define your site type, industry, and goals. Second, choose your color palette or upload your logo. Then, add pages and features that align with your business needs, and select from a wide range of themes. With this basic structure in place, you're already only steps away from having a live site. Odoo's drag and drop editor requires no technical skills. You can insert blocks wherever you want and tailor category blocks with template options that suit your vision. Each section of your site can be customized using flexible grid layouts and dynamic animations to showcase your brand uniquely. Odoo integrates Google Fonts to give you full control over typography. You can then customize text colors, highlight sections, and create an inviting professional look. Odoo's built-in AI helps generate, transform, or translate content. ChatGPT is also available for inspiration and rephrasing, and multilingual sites can be effortlessly created with fast, accurate translations. I highly recommend you check out Odoo today, and if you use my link in the description below, you'll get your first app for free of Odoo's all-in-one business solution.
The amount of millionaires in the US grew by over 7% in 2023, reaching nearly 7.5 million people. With that many people, it isn't surprising that being a millionaire now only places you at the bottom of the upper class. A lot of the people with a net worth between $1 and $10 million live fairly normal lives compared to the average. Lots will still have salary jobs, clock into work each day, and go home to their family at the end of it all. However, the difference is in the details. A pretty good system for imagining how levels of wealth change your life is to compare it to the cost of things that you already know. If you're trying to scrape by on $50,000, then something like a first-class plane ticket would be out of the question. At around $1,500 to $5,000, depending on the airline and the destination, it costs around 2 to 10% of your yearly earnings. A lot to pay for more legroom and some complimentary drinks. But if you're making $500,000 a year instead, then it's completely different. Now it's just 0.2% to 1% of your yearly earnings. It's still not enough to not think about, but it's the same proportional cost that an economy ticket would be for someone on $50,000. It's like spending $150 to $500 on plane tickets. If you want to splash out on luxury, then you can. As your earnings increase past that point, it obviously gets even more affordable. Pretty soon, a first-class ticket costs the same proportionally as a meal at a fancy restaurant for someone with a regular job. You probably still can't do it every day, but it's manageable. Meanwhile, that meal that would have cost $80 goes down to $8 or less. The bottom line is that rare treats for regular people become normal, and things completely out of their reach are suddenly there for the taking. At the upper end of this wealth bracket, the way you interact with the service economy starts changing as well. At a net worth of $10 million, you can now begin to think about employing people just to make your life easier. A personal assistant to plan your schedule and deal with all the small things that you can't be bothered with. Or maybe an in-house chef to bring whatever restaurant-quality food you want in your kitchen. The idea of paying someone else's salary is completely out there for someone making a regular salary themselves. But paying that $40,000 assistant salary is the equivalent of a regular person paying $400 a year. It's easily affordable. It's no surprise then at this level you can already get detached from the experience that most other people have. So many of the struggles and problems that regular people deal with are gone because you can afford to pay someone else to do it for you. Buying your groceries, driving you around, even raising your kids, it can all now be paid for. It's at the lower end of this wealth bracket where you find the happiest people overall. Studies vary on what that actual figure is, but it usually ranges from around $100,000 to $500,000 a year. It's key to make enough to give you a comfortable life, but it's not too much. Otherwise, it begins to alienate you from regular people. At this point, you're not rich enough for your own personal entourage or anything like that. Instead, you can safely assume that people you spend time with actually like you and not just your money. As you get richer, that becomes a real problem. In fact, getting richer brings in a whole lot of different problems. Which brings us on to our next wealth class, the people with around $10 to $100 million in assets. Surprisingly, in the US, this still isn't that exclusive of a club. Even at $10 million, there's still nearly 1.5 million people who are richer than you in the US alone. But at $100 million, there's only around 25,000 people richer than you. So this level of wealth still includes a lot of people. So let's look back at the costs. By adding another zero to your bank account, you've shifted the proportions of things by the same amount. Those first class plane tickets now cost the equivalent of what $15 to $50 means to a regular person. That day to the restaurant goes down from $80 to 80 cents. First, there's the question of where this even comes from. While you might see people like the top doctors in the country at this level of wealth, the majority of people who are this rich will be involved in the financial industry. It's because this level of money doesn't come from your actual work. It comes from investments and owning things that make money for you. In Teton County, Wisconsin, the richest county in the US per capita, over 80% of the money flowing through it came from investments alone. The mountain town has become a playground for the ultra-rich, and it's an interesting case study that we'll get into later. The way you use money also changes at this level of wealth. You can pretty much buy anything you want within reason. So instead, money becomes a tool for increasing your status. You might be proud of your new $2 million boat, but your friend just bought one for $5 million. It's a constant competition, especially for the newly minted multi-millionaires. At this level, status becomes everything because it's the only thing that'll open the doors to high society. While those first class tickets are certainly more affordable, it won't look good to your new friends. So instead, you'll now need to charter a private plane if you still want to fit in. Everyone is trying to climb the ladder, and to do that, you need to spend more as you get richer. A net worth of $10 to $100 million might be enough to get you in the doors of some private golf clubs, but it won't make a big splash. While you might now start brushing shoulders with the true elites, you'll still have to make an impression to get on their radar. And we've only talked about going up so far, but there's also people going down the wealth ladder as well. There are generally two kinds of people you'll meet at this level of wealth. New money who are climbing the ladder and old money who are slowly losing their fortunes. There's a constant tension between the two groups. Recently, we've seen more self-made millionaires and billionaires than ever before. Meanwhile, lots of people from traditionally rich families are losing it all trying to hang on to their old lifestyles. The differences are even more pronounced when you get into the next level of wealth, centimillionaires, or people with a net worth of over $100 million. They're at the very top of their companies and their industries, above the common rabble of multi-millionaires. But even this far towards the top, and they're still playing the same games of jealousy and pointless rivalry. For the newly rich, it's normally based on how rich you can appear. Pretty much anyone who's gotten to this level on their own doesn't care about taste or subtlety. Only the price tag matters, the apartments they buy are perfect examples. New York is the city with the most centi-millionaires, and the skyscrapers surrounding Central Park are where the majority of them live. But once you've seen one of those penthouses, you've pretty much seen them all. They're all just boxes in the sky made of glass and concrete. They all have the same floor plan and the same minimalist overpriced decorations. Whether you're getting a $10 million apartment or a $100 million apartment, the only difference is the square footage and the view. These apartments are just the tip of the iceberg. Hundreds of millions is the point where you can now start employing entire communities of people for the most trivial of desires. Full staff for yachts you can only spend 2 weeks a year on.
A super yacht reportedly owned by Amazon founder Jeff Bezos is causing some big waves in the Netherlands.
CBS2's Tina Krause talked to some people who oppose the idea of taking down a historic bridge to make room for the billionaire's boat.
It's a bridge over troubled waters in the Netherlands as city officials in Rotterdam consider a plan to take apart the historic structure to make room for this, the largest sailing yacht in the world.
Permanent workers for homes out in the middle of nowhere. It isn't uncommon for people at this level to own over 10 properties for their own personal use, outside of their massive real estate portfolios. People at this point will have their own private planes as well, rather than just chartering them out. In fact, they often rent out their planes when they're not using them. Everyone at this level of wealth has a lot of power just from their money alone. It's at this point when you can start using it to make a difference on a societal level. You might not be able to solve the big problems, but you can easily lobby the government or set up your own international charity. It also gives you the ability to buy the attention and time of pretty much anyone you want. You can have world-famous bands play at your parties or celebrity chefs to make you breakfast. The only limit really at this point is your own imagination. Then there are the political and the social connections. Towards the billionaire end of the spectrum, your name alone will get you whatever you want. If you want to have personal conversations with world leaders or other industry magnates, they're only a phone call away. People at this level and beyond start to struggle to find things to spend their ludicrous wealth on. Often they turn to collecting, buying up million-dollar artworks or artifacts like a kid collecting Pokemon cards. Nicolas Cage was once worth over $150 million, and he blew a large chunk of this on multiple mansions, a private island, and a collection of dinosaur fossils including a full T-Rex skull. As you go farther up the ladder, your perception changes until you're completely out of touch with the world. Centimillionaires are far past this point. All their needs are catered to, nobody around them disagrees with them, and they're given luxuries far beyond what any normal person could ever dream of. It makes them isolate themselves from the rest of the world, but they still often idolize the normal life they left behind. It's part of the reason so many ultra high net worth people have moved to Teton County. There's a lot of benefits for them. It's a tax haven, and the influx of rich people has made it a property speculator's dream.
It is the wealthiest and most unequal in America.
The average income here is $318,000, and the average single-family home price is now more than $5.5 million.
It's nation-leading bad. If you're making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, you're likely living in your car, or you're living 45 minutes away. For most people, it's becoming unlivable.
The reason, he says, is that the ultra-wealthy find Teton County very livable. Their arrival here accelerated during COVID. The desire for multi-million dollar mountain escapes has created a new land rush.
But perhaps more importantly, it lets them cosplay as working class Americans. They can spend their time hiking in the Rocky Mountains or fishing in the rivers, then come home to their comfy multi-million dollar mansion. It also provides psychological insulation against the simple fact that their lifestyles are toxic to both the planet and society. While living standards for most people haven't really changed or have even gotten worse in the West, the standards for the ultra-rich have skyrocketed. Centimillionaires and billionaires enjoy the excess profits of entire industries, using it to enrich themselves further or just for frivolous luxury. Once you get to the billionaire class, though, there aren't really that many more changes. Everything just gets even bigger. Those connections that gave you links to politicians now let you directly influence public policy and put you on a first-name basis with world leaders. Instead of mega yachts, you can afford entire fleets of luxury ships. Forget a private plane, you can now buy your own airport and even your own airline. Which is why most billionaires stay out of the spotlight, while a few like Musk and Trump have leveraged their status for even more influence. Despite the completely insane levels of wealth they've attained, they still aren't actually at the highest level. The true wealthiest people in the world aren't going to show up in the Forbes list because their wealth can't be calculated. Multi-millionaires might dominate a whole company, while billionaires control entire industries, but these people dominate whole countries and societies, hoovering up the excess profits. Putin's one of these people. It's estimated that he has over $200 billion in his personal portfolio of assets tied up in land, property, art, and oil rights. But at this level, wealth goes beyond just money and stuff.
Being at a net worth of $230 billion roughly, being perceived as the richest person on Earth.
Well, I think Putin is significantly richer than me.
You really do, yeah?
Yes.
Money is just a means to an end, a way to change the world around you. But the power these people have outdoes all of that. It makes money alone meaningless, just something to distribute among your cronies and your subordinates. While billionaires can buy mansions and secure compounds, people at this higher level of wealth can buy entire cities. Just look at what the Saudis have been doing. Their control of a large portion of the world's oil supply have made their royal family the richest people to ever exist. Some estimates put their net worth at over $1.4 trillion, and it could easily be a whole lot more than that. With that many zeros, pretty much everything loses its cost compared to your total wealth. But the richer and more powerful you get, the more worried you become about losing it all. It's this pressure, plus the fact that there's nothing else to do with it, that has spurred on the construction of massive vanity projects in the Middle East. Dubai's fake islands and Saudi Arabia's ridiculous line city are just a few examples of this. They're so rich that they're building a city-sized, air-conditioned glass building in the middle of the desert, set to house 9 million people once it's completed. Meanwhile, Dubai is spent millions and millions importing special types of sand to make their artificial islands. Regular desert sand just doesn't stand up to the tides. The levels of wealth and waste it takes to complete these projects are truly dystopian. Their hope is that once the world gets over its addiction to oil, these futuristic tourist attractions will be enough to sustain these places' economies. Along with these mega projects comes the standard luxuries that billions can buy you. Fleets of super yachts and private jets, whole crates of cocaine and other drugs, mansions and estates across the world that used to belong to royalty. At this point, we should take a look back at where we started, from an average salary all the way into the trillions. Modern society has enabled inequality that outshines any other period in history. Even if you saved every penny you earned from an untaxed $50,000 salary, it would still take you 28 million years to equal the Saudis in net worth. And with inflation, this basically just makes it impossible. The world's economy is is constantly working at a breakneck pace to support these people and their level of luxury. Every year, they manage to squeeze out more money and take more control of society. It can only continue on indefinitely if technology and human development can somehow outpace human greed. We haven't seen these levels of decadence in human history before, but we have seen the same cycle of decadence and decay happen over and over again. Eventually, it all comes crumbling down. We can only hope that if it all does fall apart, they won't take the rest of the world with them.